Hello, my friends. I'm Bill McLaughlin. Welcome to St. Paul Sunday.
St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio and made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by this Public Radio International station. Join us today with our guests, the St. Olaf Choir.
As the heart desires the brook, so my soul longeth after thee, O Lord. This was music of Palestrina, Sicut Cervus, very beautifully sung by the largest group that's been in this studio for a long time. We have with us for this special Easter program today the St. Olaf Choir under the direction of Dr. Anton Armstrong. Dr. Armstrong, it's a great pleasure to meet you.
Well, thanks, Bill. It's wonderful to be with you, and it's wonderful to be on this program.
Yeah. For folks outside the Midwest, if you haven't heard of the St. Olaf Choir, it's your own fault because they have been on the road this year. I just was looking into the tour that you made. It was called an East Coast tour, but it actually started in Denver and Colorado Springs and Aspen, went through Carnegie Hall, Heinz Hall in Pittsburgh, Severance Hall in Cleveland, wound up in Boston, came back, and you all sang something like 20 concerts in barely more than 20 days. It's a good thing you're all young musicians. I can't think of any orchestra or chamber music ensemble that could take that pace and seem to enjoy it as much as you all do. The St. Olaf Choir, boy, what a tradition. When the founder of this St. Olaf tradition, F. Melius Christiansen, went there, was what, 1911?
Well, he came actually to school in 1903 to head the music department and to actually conduct the band. And then he had wisdom, and he started his choir, which came out of the church that he served at the time, St. John's Lutheran Church. And so we have our roots as a ensemble in the church, and, and sacred music still is at the core of what we do.
Yeah.
But he had the vision to take this group 2 years after its founding back to his homeland of Norway.
Folks, for you who don't have a map of Minnesota before you, Northfield, Minnesota is a town not quite 40 miles south of Minneapolis and St. Paul, less than an hour down the freeway. Home of two great colleges, Carleton College is there as well. But I think you guys get the vote for the best choir in this region, there's no question. If you go back to 1911, in that year, Gustav Mahler was the music director of the New York Philharmonic. It was his last season. In fact, he went home to Vienna and died before he could come back. Leopold Stokowski was just taking over the Philadelphia Orchestra in 1911. So that's the kind of tradition we're dealing with here. And we'll hear a little more music, and we'll talk more about that tradition. But right now, I'm really eager. We're going to jump 250 years now from the time of Palestrina to that of William Billings, who was born near Boston around the same time as, Thomas Jefferson, 1746, something like that. Tell us what you're going to sing now in this next set.
Well, most appropriate for this day, for Easter Sunday, we're singing his anthem, his Easter anthem. And this first section represents the a cappella tradition and very much the tradition of music out of that has long been associated with the St. Olaf Choir.
Mm-hmm. So we'll start with William Billings, but also your music of a composer born in Russia and then who spent his last, well, I guess nearly 40 years or 30 years anyway in the United States, Alexander Gretchaninov. And we'll conclude with a setting of Psalm 50 by F. Melius Christiansen. And we'll talk a little bit more about Maestro Christiansen when we get there. Three Easter pieces now from the St. Olaf Choir under Dr. Anton Armstrong.
And become the first fruits of
The sound of the St. Olaf Choir, and those three pieces give you a tremendous opportunity to survey the range of power, among other things, available to an a cappella chorus. We just heard music of William Billings, Alexander Gretchaninoff, and F. Mealyus Christiansen. We heard some of the things you might expect in a very good choir. Excellent, extraordinarily good diction, clarity of rhythmic ensemble, beautiful blend. But I also heard something which is hard to find with very good college choirs, which is tremendous depth of tone. And some of it is, I'm looking around these kids, I see 19 and 20-year-old kids and 22-year-old kids. And the thing is, with the human voice, it takes a while for the deeper voices to mature and for all the voices to find their full power. So now I'm looking at the director, Anton Armstrong. How do you all find this sound together? Because there's a sound when the St. Olaf Choir sings that belies the relative youth. They sound like a mature choir. How did you do that?
We feed them oatmeal when they come to St. Olaf.
Oh, Lord, man, if you could, you know, bottle that recipe and send it around the world, then I guess we'd all sound like, but somehow I don't think there's...
We're very fortunate that the young people who choose to come to St. Olaf come because it is an exemplary liberal arts college. Over close to about 35 to 40% of this choir are non-music majors, and they come because they have a love of singing. And I guess this group represents in the best way what Robert Shaw always talked about when he talked about the amateur, the true lover of the art.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get academic credit for this. They give up a lot of time, mm-hmm. and they're a wonderful group of human beings. And many of them have been singing since they were young children. And because of that attraction to a place where they can not only pursue wonderful solo studies, and we have wonderful voice faculty, they nurture these voices, and then many of these people sing in one of other eight choirs that exist.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they're in here, they decide they want to contribute, and, you know, this is the great thing about the amateur singer. In that sense, you can put a lot of different voices together, and the final yield is something rather incredible.
In the middle of these three pieces that you just sang, the music of Gretchaninoff, who was a pupil actually of Rimsky-Korsakov, that comes straight out of the Russian choral tradition, and that stuff must be so satisfying, this thing. I mean, it's just so creamy, and you get high, you get low, but it's, yeah, they're holding up arms like it is a kick to say. Yeah, I mean, because it's thrilling to hear it, just from the physical sound of it. I was very interested to hear that you shift from that to the music of the founder of this St. Olaf tradition, F. Mealyus Christiansen, who was the composer of the final of those three pieces. Tell us a little bit more about him and how we got from F. Mealyus Christiansen to Anton from New York City. I mean, because there have been only four directors in all the history of this choir.
Yes, there have only been four conductors. F. Mahler founded the choir in 1911. He was succeeded by his son, Olaf Christ Johnson, who had sung with his father in the 1920s, had gone on to establish a wonderful career immediately before he came. He was at the choral director at Oberlin College for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And he was conductor of the choir the first 2 years. He shared it with his father. Those were interesting years when you read back in the history. Mm-hmm. But he conducted the choir until 1968. And then one of his students, who was my teacher, my mentor, Kenneth Jennings, assumed the mantle of leadership in 1968. And then I'm now in my 10th year at St. Olaf. Mm-hmm. Actually, the shift between Gratininov and Christ Johnson is not such a rare thing in the St. Olaf tradition. F. Mahler's Christ Johnson was known in his programming for featuring the works of the great Russian and German and Northern European composers. Mm-hmm. And he loved the Russian church music. Mm-hmm. He brought in that rich singing tradition from Scandinavia, and you heard it when you listened to the archival recordings. He loved that low bass, and he wrote for that, and you heard that in his own compositional style. Mm-hmm. And it really was, those Russian pieces were a feature of his programming during the early years of the choir. When Olaf came, he expanded to do more music of the Renaissance, which you heard in our first offering today, and more music of the 20th century. He was one of the earliest composers to do Daris Mio in this country.
Uh-huh. It's one of the hard things with a cappella music is that you don't get a break from the sound of voices, as beautiful as they are. So you have to find styles that shift.
Yeah.
And now I'd like, I think, to get back to more music. We have a next set entirely of 20th century music. We're going to wind up with my old buddy Aaron Copland and have two composers whom I don't know as well, but you do. So tell us about them.
Well, the first selection is by a contemporary Hungarian composer whom I finally met just last month for the first time, Gyorgy Orban. His music is becoming more known in this country. This piece, which you can later give the audience a translation of, is in Latin, mm-hmm. But it's a delightful piece. It represents, I think, some of the chromatic shifts that you hear in his work, but you certainly hear a little bit flowering of the countrymen of Kodály and Bartók and some of the coloristic use of harmonies. The second piece is by my predecessor, Kenneth Jennings, who not only is a consummate musician, his mentor, Olaf Christ Johnson, called him that at the time he was appointed, and that's absolutely true. He's a consummate musician, and his retirement years, he has turned towards the craft of composition even more. And we wanted to celebrate the great contribution of Aaron Copland to music of the world, and certainly in the centennial year, and this song of Thanksgiving from his opera, The Tender Lamb, seemed to be a very appropriate piece for our needs this year.
All right, we're going to hear now music of the Hungarian Gyorgy Orban, a piece about the devil. We'll give you a little more of the translation. He says the devil's going to lose, but I kind of wonder if he's not on the devil's side a little bit. I looked at that score. I'm anxious to hear the piece. Kenneth Jennings, The Lord is the Everlasting God. And then finally, Aaron Copland's from the opera, The Tender Land, The Promise of Living. Here's the St. Olaf Choir under Dr. Anton Armstrong.
Demo, 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 demo
That's one of my favorite roles for Copland, as the boy from Brooklyn, sort of showing himself to be the poet of the American prairies. From his 1954 opera, The Tender Land, we just heard The Promise of Living, sung by the St. Olaf Choir under the direction of Dr. Anton Armstrong. I love that music. It's funny. It's based on an old folk tune, Zion's Walls, which he uses in the old American folk songs. And there's some kind of ultimate purity, which remains very moving, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. There's, you know, you hear three notes and you recognize it as Copland.
Yeah.
And there, the word honesty is exactly that. He got to the core of things. There wasn't a lot of messing around. And he took this very simple folk song, in a sense, and he raised it to some of the world's greatest operatic stages. And he represents us, I think, sometimes in our purity. He's one of the best examples of who we are as Americans.
I love this earlier Hungarian piece, which was not at all pure. Piece about the devil made me do it. And I thought so when I looked at the score, and I thought even more now as I heard you sing it. I was really wondering. Composers love to be on the devil's side. Some of the greatest stuff in opera for basses, stuff that Sam Raimi sings, is all the devil's music. And the words here, this is a rough translation, but I love them. I'll just give it as it's printed, the score. The devil sneaks in expertly amidst praise, song, and dance. Goes on to say, of course he's not worth what Jesus Christ is worth, but he does say, poor, passionate, undisciplined, frustrated devil. And then you guys are singing like crazy. I mean, you're swinging, you're clapping on the afterbeats. I mean, I wonder whose side this composer is on.
He's a sweet man, though. I finally met him and his wife last month. He's a sweet man.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing wrong with the music. It's not devil worship. It's just enjoyment. Sort of like impish side, which is good to set this special program off for Easter. I should say that the composer's name is Jorgi Orban, Hungarian composer, who composed that piece about the devil. And in the center, we had a beautiful piece of Kenneth Jennings, who was for a long time the director of the St. Olaf Choir, and is now revealed every year to be an even greater composer. That was The Lord is the Everlasting Guide. Should mention that the two members of the choir who came down to play piano for the Copland, there were Michael Myers and Justine Sassenfar, played very beautifully. That's a reduction of an orchestra score, which is always difficult to bring alive.
It's very challenging, yeah.
And let's take a moment now to let people who have just tuned in the last couple of minutes know that we're hearing a special program now with the St. Olaf Choir. I'm Bill McLaughlin, and you're tuned to St. Paul Sunday. I'd mentioned earlier that the St. Olaf Choir is just back from a big 20-concert tour across most of the United States, actually at least the middle to the East Coast. There are actually, did I read 11 international tours, Europe and the Far East, and in the history of the choir?
At least that many. There may be even a couple more in there, but at least that many. And the most recent one was in 1997 to Australia and New Zealand, and it was a wonderful, very exciting trip. And next year we're embarking for our first return to Central Europe in over 26 years, and we'll be singing at several of the major festivals in Europe, and we have several invitations that are just coming through as we speak.
Mm-hmm. You know, I heard there was a disc that you brought out. I can't remember whether it was right before you went to Australia or right after, but it included some Australian and New Zealand composers, as I remember.
Yes.
It was very interesting. How many CDs altogether do you have in currency?
Well, we have at least a half a dozen during my tenure, and the recordings made during the years that Kenneth Jennings was conductor are really stellar recordings. And so I would say we have at least 12 to 14, and they represent a wide gamut of choral music and a chance to hear the evolution of the choir over the years from Dr. Jennings' early to middle years to his later years, and from the choir has evolved over these last 10 years, and they're very exciting. Some music, certainly from our a cappella tradition, but also music of a global nature, music incorporating instruments, a little bit of piano. We're very fortunate to have an outstanding instrumental program, especially a superb string program. And so I can now take small chamber orchestras to do the Bach motets, for instance, or a Handel coronation anthem, and it's really wonderful to have that very special advantage.
If you folks would like to find out more about the St. Olaf Choir, a little more information on this program, or even information on the St. Olaf Choir recordings, the easiest way is to direct your browser to our website, and we'll link you. You can find St. Paul Sunday website at stpaulsunday.org. And now I'd like, I think, to get back to more music. We were just talking about world music and your interest in it, Anton, and we have a very good sample of that now. Here are four more pieces from the St. Olaf Choir. First is an Israeli piece called Yom Zeh Le'Israel, Children of the Heavenly Father, a Swedish hymn set by Robert Schultz. Moses Hogan, who runs a wonderful chorus in New Orleans, will have his arrangement of the old spiritual, My Soul's Been Anchored in the Lord. And finally, Keith Hampton's Praise His Holy Name. Here's the St. Olaf Choir.
Oh,
going to raise the spirit for this Easter Sunday. Folks, if you tuned in toward the end, did you know that there was the St. Olaf Choir from Northfield, Minnesota, singing to you on this Easter Sunday? Because if I just tuned in to the radio the last set, I would not have had an idea what was coming at me, except that it was all great. We just heard a set of international selections from the St. Olaf Choir. We started with a Hebrew piece, Yom Zeh LeYisrael. We had a couple of soloists, a couple of tenor soloists, Michael Hennewalt and Michael Espinoza. Adam Lupke was our bass soloist on that. We had a beautiful arrangement by Robert Schultz, who's also on the faculty at St. Olaf, of the Swedish hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father. A wonderful arrangement by Moses Hogan of the old spiritual, My Soul's Been Anchored in the Lord. And finally, Keith Hampton's chart on Praise His Holy Name. That was Joshua Chai tearing it up at the piano, and Paul Wilson, who was singing and playing tambourine all at the same time. You know, Anton, I got to blame a little of this on you with your New York City background and church background, but it's great to hear these young kids take on so many different styles of music.
Well, it's, you know, St. Olaf was a great place for me as a student. And each conductor has, as I said, pressed the envelope a little bit more. I had a nicest compliment, I guess, maybe a couple months ago when we were in Denver. And if Marius's only child, Elsa, is still living, she's close to 80. And when you look at her, you see her father. She has that wonderful, ruddy Norwegian look. And she came up to me. And I'm not always sure that Elsa has quite understood what I've done during my tenure. And she kind of came up to me, gave me a big hug, and she said, you know, Papa would be proud.
Wow.
And that meant a lot coming, because Chris Johnsons are hard people to please. So it was very nice. And I think we've tried to continue on in that spirit of excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that there's, you know, there's beautiful music from all over the world. And these young people here give it their own special brand of beauty and energy. And it, they energize me. So it's a great team.
Man, I'm here to tell you, it energizes all of us. And that's quite an arch there from F. Melius Christiansen, who started founded the St. Olaf Choir in 1911, to your own tenure, Dr. Anton Armstrong. I want to thank all of you young kids, because I know you've been so busy and you got school and every manner of performances. Thanks so much for fitting us into your busy schedule. And please drop by Minnesota Public Radio from time to time, now that you found out where the building is. They're awfully friendly folks. There's wonderful music going on here, as there is across the public radio system. You folks at home, drop us a line. Let us know how you liked it. You can write to us at St. Paul Sunday, care of Minnesota Public Radio, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55101, or by email. Our address is sunday@mpr.org. That's M as in Minnesota, PR.org. And if you like, you can even try our website, because we're starting to take some questions and try to make some sort of answer to them. You can also find out a lot about the programming and the artists who have appeared on it. Our website is stpaulsunday.org. And that brings us to the end of this Easter program. Thanks so much to Dr. Anton Armstrong, the director of the St. Olaf Choir, and to all of you youngsters who, I'm calling you youngsters because you're so much younger than I am, but boy, you sing just like champions. It's wonderful to hear you. Thanks so much for the show. And that's all the time we have for music this week, folks. Make sure to stay tuned in to the other great programming coming up on this public radio station, and make even more certain to tune in next week when we're back here with St. Paul Sunday.
St. Paul Sunday is made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by this Public Radio International station. St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio in the Maud Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio. Your host for the series is Bill McLaughlin. The senior producer is Mary Lee. The music producer is Steve Barnett, and the associate producer is Vaughn Ormseth. The engineer is Tom Mudge, and the production engineer is Michael DeMarc. The St. Paul Sunday website is produced by Nancy Blakestead. This is Marianne Sullivan. Thank you.
listening to the string quintet of Franz Schubert as performed by the Juilliard String Quartet with guest cellist Bernard Greenhouse, one of the selections on St. Paul Sunday's newest compact disc, Mixed Company. Visit our website at stpaulsunday.org to order your copy of Mixed Company, Music from St. Paul Sunday. This recording includes performances of Gil Shaham, the Emerson String Quartet, and many more, all recorded for this program and many not available elsewhere. And don't forget, your purchase of this recording helps support your station and St. Paul Sunday. Order your copy of Mixed Company from the St. Paul Sunday website, stpaulsunday.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.